Welcome to episode 3 of Why Should Your Team Win? Where I ask fans all over the world what their favorite team is and they tell me. Because I just, I'm into that. And we got an awesome guest today. I'm so excited. Coming from all the way from Custard, South Dakota, we have Amy Ortiz. Welcome, hi. Welcome. So, yeah, let's get into it. Amy, can you tell me what is your team and why?
My favorite team is the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's kind of a personal history for me. I grew up in Alaska, and then I lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which is where Katie and I met, and I grew up loving hockey, but I didn't really have a local hometown professional team. In Alaska, there was the University of Alaska Anchorage, and then in North Dakota, there was UAD, both really great hockey teams that produced wonderful players, but I didn't have a local team. So I became more of a fan of college players that went on to play in the NHL versus following a specific team because I didn't feel a connection. And even when I was in North Dakota and the Minnesota Wild expansion team happened, I just didn't feel connected to them. So I just kind of paid more attention to college hockey.
Yeah.
More fun that way.
I am totally in that same boat, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's fun seeing UND players go on and have success in the league, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got countless that have won the Stanley Cup even. It's kind of cool. I've seen the Stanley Cup in Grand Forks, I think, once or twice.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Well, then in 2009, I moved to Vegas, and it's a city I love because Vegas is a town where you can sort of decide who you want to be, and it gives you all the tools to be that person. So it was really great for my personal development. I still followed college hockey, but being that at the time, pro sports was never considered a reality for Vegas because of the whole betting history. Mm-hmm. I never dreamed that we would get a professional team, much less hockey, my favorite sport.
Yeah.
But that ended up being the first professional team that we got. So when they announced that the Golden Knights were coming to Vegas, I personally was stoked. However, I will be honest, I did not expect hockey in the desert to work. I didn't think there would be a lot of fans. My husband, he's from Phoenix, and, you know, the Coyotes are hanging on for dear life down there.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't. They don't have the support of their community at all. So, I was excited for it to start. But then right before the regular season started there in 2017, something happened in Vegas which just changed the town forever, which was the 1 October shooting.
Yeah.
So just in case anybody forgot, because shootings are like an everyday thing in America.
Hashtag Vegas strong.
Yep. Hashtag Vegas strong. So a gunman fired down from the 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay and killed 60 people and wounded dozens of others. And I mean, that night was crazy. I didn't go to the concert, but I lived right on Tropicana. And all night long, just sirens blared until they stopped. And my husband turned to me and he said, you know, that means nobody left to save. And it was just this terrible feeling. The shooting burst our bubble of idea of security, of being on the strip. It was hard for lots of people to go back down there, and it really changed things. And so a lot of people weren't really talking about hockey.
Yeah.
On October 10th, which was the first home game. It wasn't our first game, but our first home game was October 10th. And the Golden Knights, they could have made their first home game programming all about them. I mean, and they would have been right to do so. It was their first home game, their new franchise. And instead, they dedicated the whole thing to the victims of the shooting, and they helped raise money for the family members of the victims. And, I mean, they really proved themselves to be as much a part of the fabric of Las Vegas as
So when Las Vegas came on the scene, like, obviously, I was in Europe when that happened, and, you know, it was just, like, such a gut punch, And, you know, so Vegas stayed on the back of my mind all season. You know, I was kind of like rooting for them, even though they're not my team. But I just remember all season just being like, okay. And, you know, how they acquired Fleury, you know, I was like, all right, he's one of my favorite players. So that was kind of like, I was rooting for them, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, as far as the expansion went, we really benefited from a slight change in the expansion rules so that, you know, teams could really only protect 9 or 10 of their players versus like 12 or 13 in the past. We didn't have any other expansion teams to compete with as far as the expansion draft went. So the front office could really, you know, have their pick as far as who was available to build the team. They ended up basically taking a player from every team, I believe, that wasn't like, you know, their number one guys, but like their number two and number three guys.
Yeah.
And they really built, and I credit George McPhee with this.
And who's he? Is he the GM?
Was general manager at the time. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a chemistry team. They really, we call them the Golden Misfits. They, guys that might fit in at the teams that they were on. You know, we had plenty of players with lots of experience. We had other players that didn't have a lot of experience, but they all came on to the Golden Knights together and they gelled.
And there was a lot of doubters before the season started. People like, they won't make the playoffs, you know, other hockey players tweeting. I remember some guy from LA Kings was like, whatever, you know, and I was like, okay, you know, how the rest of the season unfolded, you know.
Well, and it wasn't like we set the world on fire right away with the regular season. You know, everybody kind of forgets about the regular season because of how the playoffs went. But, you know, it was a learning experience for those guys, and they really learned to lean on each other. We had a great leadership in George Gallant, and you know, there wasn't all this pressure, which I think has kind of become a kryptonite since then. But at the same time, the team has really made sure that it stayed grounded to Vegas. They didn't become like obsessed with this hunt for the cup that they forgot to, you know, to stay involved in the community. You know, they brought youth hockey to the forefront in Vegas. They do work with the Comprehensive Cancer Center of Nevada. Oh, big thing for me, they work in conjunction with Nevada Donor Network, which is an organ procurement organization that I very proudly volunteered with for several years. They promote organ, eye, and tissue donation registration in the state. And the work that they do, I mean, really does save lives. And it could eventually help bring a transplant center to Nevada, which is something which is really desperately needed. And the day that transplant center finally does open in Nevada, the Golden Knights will have every right to say that they were part of that journey. So
that's awesome.
I love
I love learning new and awesome things about a team like that, you know, how teams and players especially will have a foundation this, foundation that. So it's great how hockey can just not open doors, but just build a door to open like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That first season. So can you tell me just a little bit more about that first season?
Sure.
So, like, yeah, were just saying, oh, the regular season wasn't too much to shake a stick at, but then that playoffs.
Yeah. It wasn't like we were winning the President's Cup that first season. There were a few little slumps that happened. You know, as much as we loved some of the dynamic saves and stuff that Fleury had that first season, he wasn't, and this is a criticism that continued to follow him, he wasn't always consistent. Subban wasn't quite...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Subban, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't quite as consistent either. He came more into his own the second season with us, but, you know... some of the lines that we had back then, and it's, you know, it's almost hard to talk about because like 70% of the guys are gone now.
Yeah.
You know, some of the players that I really miss, like Belmar, you know.
Oh, yeah, he played with Denver for a few years. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Belly.
You know, as those guys have left, the chemistry part of the team has changed. But I think is a perfect example of how that legacy kind of held on. Like our second, well, it moves back and forth between second and third line now is still three of the original Misfits, Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault. And, you know, that's hard-won chemistry. Those guys mm-hmm. really learned their own, how to communicate with each other on the ice. They run these really nice, organized, smooth plays. And that first season, those guys really, you know, we did pretty well in penalty kill. We did pretty well with our power play. And it was because those guys learned how to communicate with each other. And unfortunately, that's largely been lost. But like I said, as a testament to how that develop that first season. You can still see it in the Misfit line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it was one of the only teams in franchise or in NHL hockey history to have to go to the Stanley Cup there and then their inaugural season. I think St. Louis did it in 67, but lost.
You know, obviously, as far as playoff runs or seasons, that's going to be every Golden Knights fan's favorite playoff run or or series. I mean, it came really close, but we also kind of fell. When we lost it, we lost it.
Well, I think it was because you guys ran into the Washington Capitals, and they were so hungry. Ovechkin was going to win that cup by himself. I swear to God, it was. Yeah. And what was that series? Was it four? What did they end up winning by?
Went to game seven.
It went to game seven. Okay, I thought it was like a five or something.
No, I went to game seven, and it was in Vegas, and it was a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So let me just go into my next question here. So who's your favorite player?
Well, it's a little complicated because I have a few favorite players. I would say that goaltending right now is Logan Thompson. He's the guy that just kind of came up in the last, not even like 3 weeks or so of the regular season. I'm sure most of hockey fandom knows that this was the first season we did not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I watched that battle. I mean, with the Vancouver and Nashville and everyone just kind of leapfrogging. And then, I don't know, there was so much criticism again. I mean, especially since you guys got Jack Eichel and, you know, everyone's like, his shit stinks and blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of pressure on a 25-year-old.
Yes, but I think that he was given a little bit too much leeway, a little bit too much praise, perhaps. And maybe they even started playing him too soon
after
coming back from his surgery.
Yeah.
So that's entirely possible. But, you know, I do not drink the Jack Eichel Kool-Aid. I did not before we acquired him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like his attitude. I hope that with our new coach, Bruce Cassidy, that he can sort of get Jack Eichel onto a line with whom he has a little bit more trust.
Yeah, was it like a chemistry issue? Because, I mean, he is a top talent, but when you, just because you're talented, you get thrown on a team and you don't gel, I mean, then you kind of got your thumb up your ass there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He did best when he would pass the puck, which was ironic because he hates passing the puck. And then, you know, just I think he gets so caught up on I need to be a top line guy or a top two line guy, and that's not really what matters. It's
I mean,
being on a line that you trust.
Yeah, and becoming more of a two way player too. That's how you win a cup, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I kind of think that he could learn a thing or two from Logan Thompson. You know, he came up from the Silver Knights.
And that's your farm team?
Our A team. Yeah. We were really struggling. Robin Leonard was hurt. Laurent Brossoit was hurt. I love that guy, by the way, because he has the Frenchiest sounding name ever, Laurent Brossoit, but he speaks zero French. None.
Oh, is he from Kansas?
But anyway. he did great. He had very little experience playing in the league, and he had never been involved in a shootout before, and he had two games in a row where he was goaltending in a shootout. He did great, and the only reason we stayed in the hunt as long as we did was because of that kid. So I hope that we don't send him back down. I hope we continue to develop that talent, because every time he steps out on the ice, he learns something and improves his game. So,
well, that's promising.
I think, yeah. And then defense wise, I'm a huge fan of Zach Whitecloud. He's another kid that came out of, he basically didn't have a lot of experience. I think he played for Bemidji State.
Oh.
And then he went undrafted. So when we picked him up, we got him for a steal, something like, I think we sent him 6 years, $2.5 million-ish. And he's just, in 2 years, he has grown leaps and bounds. It, you know, we talked about a two-way player. He's a two-way defenseman, for sure. He had like two-point games last season. He's third in blocks. He's just a hulk of a guy, but when Petro steps off the ice, and everybody knows what kind of a player Petro is, and then Zach Whitecloud steps onto the ice, there's no gap there. There's no, we can count on them. They both have that depth. So I'm a huge fan of him. I think that, especially for the price we got him at, he's going to continue to be a great, great value for us. And I hope that he's having fun, because he plays like he's having fun out there, you know?
Yeah.
And then my all-time favorite knight, though, is our spider monkey, our loudmouth assistant captain, Jonathan Marchessault.
Okay.
He's our all-time scoring leader. He's one of the original misfits. He's just a total utilitarian winger. He's great in so many ways. He's fast. He's dynamic. He produces. If he falls into a slump, it's not for long. He has not had any really major injuries. He was out for COVID for a little bit, but I think that was the longest stretch where he didn't play.
Wait, teach me how to say it. Marchessault. Okay. Because I wrote it like phonetically. I was like, Marchessault. Okay. That's what I like doing this. I'm learning so much.
I was taking physics at Nevada State, and one of our questions for just bonus points was, if you had to name a unit of measurement after somebody, who would you pick? And I said Marchessault, because he's my favorite player, plus he has one of those names that sounds like, you know, an old French physicist. But he is, you know, super dynamic. He really rallies the players. He's a, for being such a small guy, man, that guy can chirp. He really lays into the opposing players. In fact, if anybody hasn't Googled some of the games where he's been mic'd up, he's hilarious. He even has gone after some trolls that commented on his Instagram, and he writes things like, your dog is as ugly as you. Stop wasting my time. And for some reason, that kills me. That's so funny. It's the guy that never left, you know, his small town rink where trash talk is encouraged, and he keeps it as part of the game, which I love. But I mean, more than anything, I love all the points that he scores. I think, I don't know if he's ever had a season where he's scored less than 25 goals.
Not too shabby.
I think he was over 30. You know, it's so weird. I think at the very end of this past season, Chandler Stephenson outscored him, but just barely. He was leading the team all season long. But, you know, he's also the guy that when Jack Eichel came on, and we were plagued with so many injuries, that Pete DeBoer tried desperately to figure out where Jack would fit in the lines and, you know, with whom. And Marchessault seemed to be sort of like an anchor. They moved him around all over the place. And he did well no matter who he was with. Now, Jack Eichel, that was not the same case for him. And I know he's a center, so it's a little bit different. But I think that it comes down to an attitude.
Yeah.
Of, you know, trusting whoever you're on the line with and communicating. And, I think that I hope he mentors Jack a little bit. I hope Chandler Stephenson mentors him a little bit and gets him to understand that, you know, that the most successful legacy for the Golden Knights is when you can really gel. There's not a lot of room for ego on that team. He's my favorite guy.
Well, and then kind of on the flip of that, you were saying how about 70% of that original 2017-2018 team is gone. Who was a player that just, like, it ripped your heart out when they left?
Fleury.
Oh, they did him dirty. Finding out on Twitter? Come on.
Yeah. It was really, really hard for me to stay a fan of the team. And, you know, I know this comes from, I blame two people for that. I blame Pete DeBoer, number one.
And he got the axe, right?
Yes, he did. Okay. Thank God. You know, I listened to your first episode, and when you talked about how you audibly screamed when Colorado won the cup, my moment from that was when I was brushing my teeth, and I read the headline that Pete DeBoer got fired, and I literally yelped with joy. And my mom and my husband were like, both, what happened? What happened? I was like, Pete DeBoer got fired.
Nice.
But I blame him, and I blame Kelly McCrimmon. I don't know how much our GM, Kelly McCrimmon, I don't know how much McPhee had to do with that, although I don't know. I'm not this anti-Robin Leonard guy, although I do think something's going on with him. I don't think it's just his shoulder. I think that mentally, either he doesn't like being in Vegas, he didn't like the coaching, although Kelly McCrimmon just did an interview in the past 2 weeks where he said that Robin Leonard was always Pete DeBoer's guy. But, you know, if you talk to basically anybody that played with Fleury on the Golden Knights, they all agreed that he was the glue, you know? He was the guy that kept morale up in the locker room. He was the guy that was, you know, encouraging at practices or when dudes were doing their conditioning and stuff, trying to come back from injuries. Like, you know, he was everybody's cheerleader.
Yeah, and he's always got a smile on his face. Like, he'll do little pranks, but he's like, I don't know, for like role model, I hate to throw it out there, but he's like a role model, I think, for just how to not take it too serious, but do your best, and I don't know.
And he wanted to finish out his career at Vegas. He was not shy about that in interviews. He talked about how much he loved the city. He loved the fans. He only had a year left on his contract anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they gave him away for nothing.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. You know, I thought he was going to stay in Pittsburgh forever, but I understand hockey's a business, and they were more interested in this Matt Murray fella. Just, you know, that's the side of the game where you're just like, no, but he smiles all the time.
Right. I know. And some people will be like, well, was his smile worth $5 million?
Yeah.
You know, and we as a club have cap-based problems. We can't seem to get away from it. But we also make very stupid business decisions. And I don't mean to get back about Jack Eichel, but holy cow. I mean,
what's his contract?
On that guy? Huh?
What's his contract?
I think $9 million.
And how, for how many years?
5 years, I think. I can double check on that. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, it was just like, we didn't, it was cap space that we didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, and then it drives us to do things that don't really make a lot of sense. From what I understand, Riley Smith was healthy enough to come back. This is just a rumor. But Riley Smith was healthy enough to come back and play at the end of the season for the last couple weeks, but we had to keep him on TIR because we just didn't have the cap space.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a productive player, and Jack Eichel wasn't doing anything for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Hockey is a business, and, you know, as far as it's not like, it's not like Fleury was hurting us or, you know, he had a few bad games, sure. And that last season, you know, I guess the second to last season, he had a little slump. It was after his dad died. I mean,
yeah.
Goaltending more than anything is mental, you know?
Yeah.
But Fleury brings with it a physicality that even when he is having maybe not laser focus mentality, he can overcome it with some of his physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Leonard, on the other hand, he is, you know, he's a behemoth of a human. He's huge, an absolute unit. But the guy doesn't move. He doesn't move. He relies too much on his eyes, not enough actually getting in front of the puck. He just, now he's further back in the crease than he used to be, and he just doesn't move. He doesn't move. And as a result, if he is not mentally in the game, he's not anticipating some of the cross movement that's happening in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, he's not also... I don't know. There's a lot of Robin Leonard fans in the, that are like, oh, his stats are just as good as Fleury's were. And, well, but Fleury had that X factor.
Does he win a Vezina, Leonard?
Yes.
Okay,
yep,
yeah.
Right before. Yep, they shared the Vezina trophy, and then Pete DeBoer just sent him packing. It was, and but like you said, the Twitter thing was what made it unforgivable.
I know a player of his caliber. The man has 3 Stanley Cup rings. Show some respect. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, he's the number 4 most winningest goalie, and he got fired over Twitter.
Did I mention his smile? Mean, just kidding.
I know. Yeah. So as long as Minnesota ended up staying in the playoffs, I was cheering for them because I wanted Fleury to win the cup if we weren't going to go for it. But even that was not the cards for him.
Oh, well, that goes into this goes into my next question, but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
So who do you hate losing to?
Oh, man. Oh, that's a great question. Well, there's probably a couple answers to that. One is the Colorado Avalanche.
I was going to get into that.
One reason being that, you know, when we're healthy, I would say that they're probably our best rivalry. When we're healthy, we play at that same caliber of hockey. So those games are super dynamic. They're fast. They're hard. It's fun hockey.
Yeah.
But as a result, It's also a bummer losing to the Avs. And also, my sister and brother-in-law are also Avs fans. So
yeah.
There's kind of that thing, too, where we can tweet at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most frustrating loss that series that we ever lost was not this past season, but the season before when we got knocked out of the playoffs by Montreal.
Yeah. What?
That was crazy.
I know. It was like a dream. I was like, is this reality? Is this happening?
I couldn't believe that the wheels fell off so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was heartbreaking, but it was also hilarious. And that at the time, I didn't care so much because I thought for sure that was going to be the nail in Pete DeBoer's coffin.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about that, but I at the time thought this has got to be it. They've got to know. Apparently, that was not it. And then the other one, the other team that I guess related to that I hate losing to, although I think we've won like 19 of the last 21 games we played against them, but it's the San Jose Sharks.
Ah, yeah.
There is something about that whole club is trash.
Yeah. No, I mean, they got a horrible team right now, but.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But I also feel like some of that karma, when we lost in the 2018 playoffs, 2019 playoffs, that was the playoff series where Cody Eakin got hit with a 5-minute major over what was basically an accident.
To Jumbo?
Series.
When his head started bleeding on the ice?
Of following event. What's that?
No, was that when Jumbo got hit in the head and was bleeding all over
Did
the
I
ice?
Yes, that's exactly it.
And they scored like four goals in 4 minutes or something? Ridiculous.
Yeah. And then they scored 3 points, tied up the game, and then it went to overtime, and then we lost. And I mean, that whole thing was, after that, everybody was like, oh, the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights have this rivalry. And, you know, basically since then, we've craned them nonstop. But the rare occasion that we do lose to them, their fandom, I mean, I get it. Vegas is probably the most hated team in the league. And I understand why. Part of it is our fans sometimes are the most obnoxious and we're a little whiny. I'll admit that a little bit. But, you know, we have been very fortunate and we don't understand what heartbreak is yet, although we're learning very quickly now.
Yeah.
But then the San Jose fans were just fished us to us. And at the time, Evander Kane was playing for them.
Ugh.
Total dirtbag, that guy. Like,
yeah.
Hall of Fame, bad human being.
Yeah.
Joe Thorsten was playing for them at the time. Yeah, I didn't like losing to them. So I guess it's a complicated question, but that's my answer.
Okay, and well, and I remember watching that game, and I was like, no way, no way. They can't score 3 goals. And it was just so unreal. I don't know, that's why that whole, all the playoffs of 2018, 2019 were just insane. Like, every team had a great series. But I digress.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you my last question. And that is, why should your team win?
All right. Well, it's a couple points here. Number one, Pete DeBoer is gone. Hallelujah. It is an all-new era. When it comes to the Pete DeBoer fan club, I am actually CEO of the company. I hate that guy. And I am so sorry for the Dallas Stars for having to deal with that. But he took Steve Spott with him, who just did not know how to develop power plays, penalty kill, special teams at all. Good riddance. Adios. Can I tell you, just this is the biggest reason I hated that guy. Mark Stone went on to a podcast, and he said that the first day that Pete DeBoer showed up in the locker room, he brought Sharks footage to show our guys and said, "I want you to play like this." Can you imagine? Ooh. Can you imagine? But the reason we're going to win the cup is because the front office has hired the exact opposite of Pete DeBoer in hiring Bruce Cassidy. This guy has such a great reputation for having a genuine coach relationship with his players. His former players all rave about him and his ability to develop what he needs out of them. I think that because of Bruce Cassidy, we're going to be able to get what we paid for out of Jack Eichel. That's going to be a big deal. He's going to be able, hopefully, to get him to quit worrying about which line that he's on and get him to play more collaboratively, pass the puck. You know, hopefully just get him to not be such a brat. So that's a big one. I think that hopefully McPhee will come down and say, you know, "I want you to put the chemistry lines back together." I hope that part of that means keeping Riley Smith. He has not re-signed, but hopefully if he can re-sign Riley Smith, we'll still have the misfit line together of Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault. You know, a big part of the magic of the first season, and I think that our owner, Foley, also recognizes this, is that McPhee's managing style and the players that they picked up, a lot of that was this chemistry play. And, you know, McCrimmon and DeBoer undermined that for the past 5 years. That didn't work. So let's get back to what did work. I mean, it's cribbing some of Gerard Gallant's coaching style a little bit, but I think that Cassidy can improve upon that, actually, from what his reputation is. I think that also his reputation is getting the team to focus and the staff to focus on conditioning to prevent injuries that plagued us last season. We had Stone out for weeks and weeks, Pacioretty out, Smith out. I mean, it was just a lot of people can try and blame us missing the playoffs last season on injuries, but you know, that's only a part of it. Yeah. And I think that Bruce Cassidy will help prevent that. And then I think the biggest difference with Bruce Cassidy and why we will win the cup is because we should, under his leadership, be improving our power play. Boston was like third in the league for power play goals. We were like 21st or something. Oh, wow. I mean, just absolute garbage. And then our penalty kill should also improve. And so with that, I think that we have an opportunity here to really right the ship. We have an opportunity to not have these clashes between the players and coaching staff in the front office. And without that drama, focus just on the fundamentals of the game and get back to winning, lead us to.
Well, you know, for your sake, I hope they get to the playoffs. And, you know, if they happen to run into Colorado, you know who I'm cheering for. But.
Fair enough. And if for some reason, you know, Colorado knocks us out, I'll probably be cheering for the Avs. I mean, I was rooting for them too, so.
Well, Aime, thanks so much for telling me more about Vegas hockey. It was really interesting, and It was really nice to see you. And do you
Nice
have
to
anything
see
else to plug?
you. No, just everybody be nice to each other.
Agreed. All right.
All right.
All right, that's it, everybody. Tune in next week where I speak to a new fan. See you later. Bye.